All right, we are going to go back to Matthew 13 this morning and look at the parable of the sower and read 1 through 23. Let's see, I lost my place. There we go. Why don't we read 1 through 9 and then I'll skip over. I know last week we really focused in on 10 through 17. I'll read 1 through 9 and then we'll pick up again in verse 18. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Still other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Picking up in verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Join me in just a short prayer this morning. Lord, we pray for ears to hear. Help us, God, to hear and to listen and to understand the word of the kingdom. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So I talked to a lady this week. This week and last week I've kind of been in and out of homes and in and out of hospice care and different places like that, and I was there this week, and I was talking to a lady, not necessarily in hospice care, but someone that was working there, and you know, sometimes when I go visit people, you know, you go to visit somebody, but you always need to keep in mind that maybe who God wanted you to visit wasn't actually the person you were there to visit. I mean, that person too, but you never know who you might run across as well. And so I just made a simple comment to a lady. I thanked her for what she was doing there in hospice care, and I just asked, "Was there anything you want me to keep in prayer? I know I just prayed for our friend over here." And she said, "Oh well, you know, my back's kind of hurting, but don't bother God with that. Don't bother God with that. That's small." And I try not to laugh, to be honest, because there's anything wrong with that, but just the idea that's small, and God doesn't want to be bothered. She didn't want to bother God with that. And it was a small comment, but it just revealed so much to me about a belief that has been sown in her heart over the years or somewhere along the line about the nature of God, who God is, and how maybe she even views herself. If she thinks that's small to God, how does she think of herself in God's eyes? And it got me thinking about our parable this morning and about how obviously the real meat of this parable is in the four soils, but there's so much more that we want to get to as well as not just the soils, but more than that. And as it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus says about this parable, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? Jesus is saying, this parable is important, not just for what it is, but for understanding all the parables. And so I don't want to jump right into the soils without talking, however briefly, about the sower and the seed and asking the question, what does God want to sow into our lives? What does God want to grow into our lives? And how does God do that? How does God do that? When God hears the lady at the hospice care say, oh, don't worry about that, it's too small, what does God think about a comment like that? Is God similar to how this woman thought of her? Or maybe is God different? In her mind, God's concerned about the important things, the dying and the life after death. God's concerned about the big things like salvation. And I think so many people think of God in really abstract terms. And they might hear Christians say, well, God is love, but maybe all they know that applies to some heavenly future out there. And so as we think about this parable, and we think about what is the Christian message of good news, is it only about a future heaven out there, or is it about a much richer picture of salvation that God has for us? And Jesus tells us, thank you, Jesus, for telling us the meaning of this parable. Isn't that good news for us? He says in all three accounts of this parable that the sower who sows the seed, and he always says that this seed is the word, and he says it's the word about the kingdom, or the message about the kingdom. In other words, Jesus is saying here that his entire purpose of coming here to earth isn't just to forgive us our sins. That would be great in and of itself. That would be wonderful if that's all the message of salvation was, that Christ came to forgive us of our sins. But he doesn't say this is the message about forgiveness. He says this is the message about the kingdom. And this is so important because Christianity is about the kingdom of God coming here to earth. It's about the kingdom of God that wants to become real to our hearts. It's about the kingdom of God coming here, and it's not about this forgiveness that we can have so that we can have something later down the road. God is not a gatekeeper, necessarily, that just wants to keep people in and out of some future afterlife. No, God is a God of the kingdom. And it's why, if we don't understand that, it's why so many Christians that I've encountered who think of God only in terms of coming to just forgive us of our sins, they never allow God to develop the kingdom. They never allow God to turn over that soil of their hearts. It's why I've met, to be honest, a lot of miserable Christians who may be forgiven and who may be assured of a future, but have never allowed the peace and the love and the joy of the walk with Christ to really get down and take root in their life. Maybe you have met some miserable Christians before as well. And as we know here, when we think about the kingdom is nothing less than the power of God in heaven coming to the earth to heal every part of human life, whether that be our emotional or physical or psychological or spiritual wounds that we have, the places of rebellion. It's nothing less than the power of God in heaven coming through His Spirit, joining with our spirits and making new our hearts. It's changing us from the inside out. And I encourage you, when we read the Gospels, to see it through that lens. When we read about Jesus' ministry, we read about His life, His death, and His resurrection. And what we see in His life is Jesus going in and doing that healing work in people's hearts and in their lives. And as we know that when we think about the kingdom is here, but it's not here fully and totally yet. We know that there'll be a day when Jesus will return and Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes. But until then, we might have a few in this life. We know that the kingdom power will be in full one day. And I think about it in terms of how when a new regime happens in sports, when a new a college coach, for example, is fired, or a professional program makes a change of direction, they fire the old staff and they bring in their new staff to run the program. Usually most assistant coaches are let go, but there might be one or two that are retained. But it's not just them. They change the entire culture. There's things that have to change, a whole new playbook that has to be put in place, a whole new culture that has to be instilled and installed into the program. Jesus has come to change out the old regime of the world and install a new regime in our lives, the kingdom of God. Remember, we said last week that parables are these short stories that Jesus tells and he puts alongside his ministry to teach as a way of speaking and drawing in those that are open to his message. Those that have ears to hear, as he says, and eyes to see. I compared it last week to those magic eye books that you look in, and if you look hard enough, if you look the right way, you'll see the picture that's there. And Jesus offers this parable that we just read in response to all the different responses that people have toward Jesus. Who is he? What's he doing? What is he about? And so as we look at this parable and we ask that question again, if the kingdom involves the healing of our lives, if it involves Jesus giving his life to us, what does God want to sow into our lives? And how does it happen? If God wants to sow the kingdom of God, the healing of our lives, how does God make it happen? It comes, Jesus says, through hearing and through listening. Through hearing and through listening. Through listening and comprehending. Notice when Jesus starts off this parable, the very first word he says is listen. Listen. And then, of course, in each soil, there's the repeated pattern of do you hear? Those who hear the message. Those who hear the message. And, of course, he ends and he says, anyone, let if they have ears, let them hear. Let them listen. How we listen is so important. And we know biblically that when you listen to something, it means you respond to it. It means you act on it. It's not like those of us that have a wife or a husband, or those of us with parents. When your parents or your wife tells you to do something and you're watching the game on TV or your favorite show and you, yeah, I heard you, then why are you still sitting there? That's what Katie says to me. No, biblically hearing means you hear it and you respond to it. And Jesus says, listen with true biblical ears. God, listening, God sowing the kingdom into our hearts comes through listening or reading the word. And why would that be the case? I think it's because of the nature of the kingdom of God and the rule of Christ in our lives. And what I mean by this is Jesus, look, when Jesus was talking here, he was talking to people that were used to kingdoms. He was talking to people that for hundreds of years watched the kingdom of Israel get taken over by the Babylonians, the Assyrians before that. They were used to people like Alexander the Great coming in with armies and invading and taking over. They are used to the Roman army coming in and taking over. Jesus was talking to people that were used to kingdoms, and they were used to powers of the day fighting to establish their kingdom. So when Jesus comes talking about the kingdom of God, when he comes saying the kingdom is here, I imagine when he starts out, the kingdom of God is like, they're expecting him to say, like God's mighty sword come to destroy all the enemies. Or the kingdom of God is like this giant stone that's going to crush all those that stand in God's way. And yet, Jesus says, no, the kingdom of God is like a seed. It's like a seed. The word of the kingdom is like a seed. God's kingdom grows not by force, not by military power, not by threats, but by hearing the word of God. And like a seed, it takes root and it covers and it grows. It sprouts. It gives life. Like a seed, it's about the hidden potential that's in this seed waiting to sprout. The kingdom of God comes through hearing. It comes through hearing the message of God through the power of his love. He's drawing on passages like Isaiah 55, which says in verse 10 and 11, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I send it." Y'all remember in the beginning of the Bible, how does God create all of this? He speaks. He speaks. Jesus here is saying, he's calling on the passage of Isaiah, which is calling on God from all creation, that there's power in God's word, that there's something about the Christian message, the message of the Bible and the message about Jesus that has the power to change lives. And it sounds crazy, I know. Especially to our modern ears, it sounds wild to think about that this message about Jesus has the ability to transform hearts. Like a seed, this change is often hidden. It's not necessarily flashy. You know, you don't open your Bible up and read it one day and then go out and walk on Percy Priest Lake the next. It doesn't happen like that. But like a seed, it grows. It's there. It's working. The power is in the seed. The world looks at the story of a poor Jewish teacher who had fewer followers than I have Facebook friends when he died. They look at this person who was a political outcast who said that true greatness is not in having people serve you, but in serving. That true wealth is found not in what you have, but in what you give away. That the kingdom is not about destroying your enemies, but about loving them. They look at this person who claimed to be God, and yet God, who was killed on a cross, who was made vulnerable. The world looks at that and says, that's not going to do anything. That's just a recipe for a life of suffering and hardship. That's not going to change the world. And yet his kingdom has lived on in the hearts of his believers and his followers for centuries. The kingdom of God has built hospitals. The kingdom of God exists in every nation's borders. The kingdom of God has built orphanages. It exists in our homes. It has repaired marriages. It has donated millions, even probably billions of dollars. It has volunteered countless hours of time to people in need. It has transformed lives. And my friends, we should never, ever, ever forget that power exists. And at church, when we hear about it so often, we can lose sight of that. The Word of God, the message of Jesus, has a spiritual power to grow and transform. And as Jesus says, how are you hearing? How are you listening to it? Do you understand that the Word of God is living and active? That it will stimulate your imagination? That it will cause you to rethink what you value? That it will open up your heart like surgery and point out all the things and the ways in which maybe you've been far from God and God wants to get in and operate on you? What makes it so powerful? What makes it so living and active? Well, when I think about this seed that is the word of the kingdom, I think about my grandparents growing up. I think about my grandparents my grandfather who was a farmer, who after every Sunday after church, we'd go out and go to the farm over in Hermitage, and I'd watch my grandfather grow out and work. And let me tell you, nature has this incredible ability. Seeds are going to try to find life. They're going to try to grow wherever you plant them. Some places are more successful than others, but that's just what they do. And I'd watched my grandfather. He would take these seeds, this life, and he'd plant them. He showed me that a diligent, faithful gardener, when a faithful gardener is involved in the process, boy, it can create some incredible things. I watched my grandfather dig up and plow the soil, turn it over. I watched him plant the seeds. I watched him get up early each day to water it and faithfully weed it. And I helped him even a few times, more times than not. Growing things for my grandfather wasn't just about planting seeds and walking away. It's not that God just sends out this message and then walks away from us. The real power, my friends, comes from the relationship. It comes from the relationship that my grandfather had with his garden. And in John's gospel, we read that when Jesus was crucified and buried, where was he buried? He was buried in a garden. He was buried in a garden. A stone was rolled over and he was buried down in that garden. And 3 days of lifeless nothingness, 3 days of thinking that seed had been planted where no life can come from. But on that third day, we know that life sprang up anew. We are told on that third day that stone was removed and Mary went to look into that tomb and she didn't see him. But who did she see? She turned and she saw someone and she thought he was the gardener, John chapter 20 says. She didn't know how right she was. She didn't know how right she was. It wasn't until Jesus said her name, Mary, that she turned and recognized, this is my God. This is my Jesus. The secret is found in the relationship. And my friends, the message of the kingdom is of a God who wants to say your name and have you turn and hear Him. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time today. As I think about my own life, the most powerful transforming parts of my character have come from the relationships that are in my life. From my parents who formed me when I was young. From my best friends that were there that helped me seek the Lord together. From my wife who knows how to encourage me and also how to straighten me up from time to time. It's the secret is in the relationship. And the message of Christianity is of a God who doesn't sit far away and says, who looks at the things like our back problems and says, guess what? That is not too small for me. That is not too small for me. The word of the kingdom is not a message of the Bible in abstract, but of the personal message of salvation from God's lips into our hearts. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so comes from what is heard. Faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the word of Christ. And that word there, it doesn't just mean the Bible. It means the direct statement from God's lips into our lives. I will never forget. I can show you the place right over here on Erlene Drive when I was walking one day and thinking in my head about something that I was feeling really self-condemned about. I was beating myself up over it. And I can show you the place when it wasn't a voice, but it was almost like the Holy Spirit was in my ear and saying, you know, I've covered this, right? You know, this has been forgiven. In that moment, I felt fresh. The thing I was worrying about went away. That was God speaking. That was the message of forgiveness that we read in abstract coming specifically into an area of my heart that I was beating myself up over. And Jesus saying, I have taken care of that. So as we think about what God wants to sow in our lives, as we think about how this word grows, it comes from learning to recognize. It comes from learning to understand not just the message of the Bible, but how God speaks to us through the Bible. Or speaks to us through dreams, or speaks to us through the community of the church here. And as we learn to hear His voice, as we learn to discern what God is saying to us specifically, we're going to see some things start sprouting up here. We're going to see, and I look around the sanctuary, and I see people that are not the same as they were 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. Why? Because God speaks. The gardener is at work. And He's going to be working on our soils, if we'll let Him. What kind of ears are you listening with this morning? What kind of soil is the soil of your heart? As we go through these soils in the coming weeks, let that be the question that keeps coming back to you. Lord, how's my soil? How's my soil? How's my heart? Because I want to hear. Let's pray. God, Lord, we do want to hear, Lord. We want to listen, God. We want to have ears that hear you. And God, we don't want to be people that just think you have some abstract message about a heaven down the road, Lord. We want that. Don't get us wrong. But God, we want you. We want your Spirit to speak about our marriages, Lord. We want you to open up our heart and to speak about the gifts that you've given us. Lord, we want to hear about the places and the people in our workplace that we're just struggling to make sense of. God, we want to hear about how you have called us to enjoy the good things in this life. Not the things of the world, not the way in which the world would have us do things and the way in which the world would have us enjoy them, but God, we want the real thing. We want the real thing. So please, Lord, give us ears to hear. Refresh our love of the Bible. Refresh our love of the message of salvation through Jesus, the message of the kingdom. And Lord, help us to hear your voice. Teach us, Lord, about the importance of listening to you, of taking time and journaling and getting together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and speaking and discerning together your voice, Lord. Teach us. Teach us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remember, y'all, as we think about how the power of God is in the message, and how it's our job to understand that message, and it's our job to just have that integrity before the Lord. And if we're struggling, if we're like, God, I don't hear you. God, I don't recognize your voice. I don't understand everything I want to understand. Go to the Lord and ask him to show you and to teach you. God is faithful in that regard. He will show you and teach you. Come, let's come together as a church. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we get together with individuals and say, let's talk about the word together so that we can understand, because the power is there. The power is there. And so I also just want to encourage you this morning as we sing our final hymn. Parents, keep reading that Bible to your kids. Parents, keep talking to your children about the Bible. People that are at work, pray for your coworkers. Have that verse on your desk. Let them see it. There's power in the word. When you're out in the world, if there's ways in which you can sow seeds, do it. Because you might think, what's going to come of that? Jesus has promised that when we sow seeds, we may not see the results. We may not see when they sprout and when they come to life, but the power is there. Let us as a church go into this world and sow seeds. And let us worship our Lord this morning, the one who is the sower who gives us that ability.